Welcome, everybody, to a Baseball America podcast. I'm John Manuel. We're still in Nashville at the winter meetings. It's very quiet here at the Opryland Hotel, but we've got one last piece of news for you. That's our Baseball America Minor League Player of the Year. I'm sitting here with Will Myers of the Royals organization. And, Will, thanks for joining us. And we're going to start off with the 2009 draft. And the 2009 draft got a lot of attention this year because of Mike Trout, Major League Player of the Year for Baseball America, Rookie of the Year. He was the top high school player, subsequently from that draft class,
right.
25th overall pick. You went in that draft class, and we were just looking at it before we were recording at the state of North Carolina, what a big year it was, the year that you came out in North Carolina in 2009. Just talk a little bit about what it was like going through the draft process as a high school player and how things worked out for you. Did it work out kind of the way you hoped it would, the way you thought it would, kind of surprises along the way in that draft year?
Yeah, the draft year was a great year for me. You know, it was a lot of fun to be able to go through that process. You know, I was committed to South Carolina, but you know, I had to entertain the draft with what I had. But it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. You know, being able to talk to a lot of the scouts, play in front of the scouts all the time, and it was one of the most fun processes I've ever had. Just going through it, and once it got to draft time. I know I was talking to my agents a lot, figure out what teams exactly wanted me and all that stuff. But it was a lot of fun. I don't really know exactly, everything to say about it, but, you know, because everybody's just different.
Well, South Carolina, you mentioned that. I forgot about that part. We've talked about that in Omaha the last 3 years.
Right.
You know, we make jokes about, well, here's where Christian Walker's hitting. This is where Will Myers would hit. I mean, you ever watch them in Omaha and think, man, I should be catching – I could catch, Michael Roth barehanded or any of that stuff.
Yeah, I was committed to South Carolina. They were a great school. Obviously, you know, going to the World Series 3 years in a row, winning two of them and then getting the championship game one. But, yeah, that would have been awesome to be able to go there. They obviously have a great program there. Coach Tanner, well, now he's leaving now, but Holbrook taking over. It would have been definitely cool to be able to go there, but, I think I made the right decision.
And we were looking at that state of North Carolina. I mean, I'll call it back up on the – I love the BA Draft Archive. It's one of my funnest things to do and to waste time at the office. But Dustin Ackley, Alex White, Will Myers at the top of that list. I mean, a couple guys have already gotten the major leagues there, and Ackley and White. But how many of those guys, like, did you play against, like a Brian Goodwin who was on that list? We talked about how some of the guys that on this that you played with in summer ball. You know, what do you think when you look back at this and some of the guys from North Carolina who are in the big leagues now? What does it say about the state of college baseball in the Old North? Not college baseball, baseball in the Old North State.
Right, yeah, just seeing some of these players on there. I played with a lot of them on there with the Dirtbags. Brian Goodwin, Daniel Tuttle's on there, Richie Schaefer. Levi Michael's not on there, obviously, because he went to school early. He went to school early. But, yeah, there's a bunch of guys on this list, man. They're good players. The state of North Carolina, I think, is one of the best states in the country for baseball. We got a lot of great talent there.
And you went straight from there. I mean, we got to see you in the state of North Carolina the next year in pro ball over in your draft year in Burlington.
Right.
We're spoiled. I love the Appalachian League. We saw Bubba Starling and Byron Buxton this year, almost $14 million a center fielder in an Appy League game, which was a little crazy. So the next year, how did that prepare you? How prepared were you for that first year in pro ball? Was it easier than you thought it would be? Did you have a little bit more success maybe in that first year of pro ball than you
It definitely wasn't easy for me, you know, because the biggest thing for my first year was just adjusting to the lifestyle, being out on your own, playing every single day. I enjoyed it, though. I think it was better than, me being in school and, all I have to worry about is baseball. But, I think it was a big adjustment for any young player coming through or for their first year of pro ball. So, I think it was a big adjustment, more of the lifestyle than anything.
How far into a season do you get before you get tired of peanut butter and jelly in the clubhouse or that kind of those mundane things?
It's pretty soon, because you have it every single day for lunch. That's something different that you got used to. But the higher you go up, the better the spreads get. Definitely having that was a big adjustment.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about the low minor leagues. I think most of our listeners and readers know. So, yeah, that big year in 2010, I think we had you number 10 on our top 100 prospect list. And then 2011 just didn't seem like – I wouldn't say it was the exact opposite, but clearly you had the physical issues with your knee and then just the offensive results weren't there. Kind of take our listeners through a little bit of that. How did you injure your knee? Which knee was it? And kind of how that process played out.
Right, yeah. In 2011, I injured my left knee. I was actually running to my apartment out of the rain and slipped and fell and cut my knee open pretty bad. I had – two stitches and four staples in my knee. I was out a week. with that, came back, played, busted open the scab, and staff got in it. So I missed about a month and a half of the season. The injury honestly didn't have that much to do with it, with my season. It was more just getting out of the lineup and getting out of the swing of things. And, you know, once I came back, everybody was already in mid-season form. And, I'd only played a couple, I think, like maybe 20 games and missed a month and a half. So everybody was already in mid-season form, and I was just, I'd only played 20 games. So I think that was the biggest thing. And me not having success early kind of hurt my confidence a little bit. And, I think that was the biggest thing, is the confidence level wasn't there.
Seemed like I only saw you once that year, but I saw you in the fall league. I went out for the Rising Stars game. I can't remember if I saw you on the Friday night before the game or if I saw you in the Rising Stars game. I'm pretty sure you were in that game. But I just remember texting J.J. Cooper, who does our Royals rankings. I was like, I don't care what he did this year. You got to rank this guy high, because you look like, it seemed like your rhythm and your timing was back in the fall league. Was that? I know you put up big numbers there.
Right.
But did you feel like you got maybe back, got that confidence back, and got a little bit of that snap back in your forearms?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I know after the season, a bunch of people were doubting my ability to be able to hit, and I knew going to the fall league, being able to have a good fall league would kind of regain that status. So what I want to do is just go out there and have a good fall league, play with some confidence, and just know every at bat, I was going to hit something harder or get a hit. And that's what I was able to do every time I was in the box.
You talked about being in the lineup, just being in the lineup every day to keep in that rhythm, see pitches, that kind of thing. I guess that's what happened really for you in 2012. And to stay in the lineup every day, not like they were going to take you out, but center field, right field, third base. Was it more difficult to stay in a rhythm when you were moving around different positions, or did it actually help you a little bit to focus?
Want to say it like got me out of rhythm, because I enjoy playing all over the, playing different positions. I think it kind of keeps it interesting. But I enjoy playing center field a lot more. Obviously it's my favorite one. But I don't think that had any effect of, getting out of the rhythm of anything. I actually enjoyed it because it made it interesting every day.
And this season, at what point during the year did you feel like this was going to be the kind of year that you could be obviously you aren't thinking minor league player of the year, but at what point in the year was it May or was it even in April where you thought to yourself, I'm ready for this. This is going to be a big year.
I think, early April after my first, I think it was after my fifth series of the year when we were back home, I started feeling really good at the plate. I didn't see, nothing was really fooling me. I felt really confident in the box. I knew at that point, I was like, this is going to be a good year for me. And it's obviously continued in AA and then on to AAA. So I think right around mid-April, maybe a little later April, I kind of knew something was going to happen this year.
What's been the highlight of your offseason so far? besides, of course, coming to get this award.
Right. I just think being home with my family, just hanging out with all those, hanging out with my family and friends, and just being home with them.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you in the big leagues. Hopefully this is the last time you're ever eligible for Minor League Player of the Year. But thank you for taking the time. Really appreciate it, and look forward to talking to you tonight more at the banquet.
Thanks for having me.
Will Myers, our Minor League Baseball America's Minor League Player of the Year, here on the Baseball America podcast. So long, everybody.